You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. And I'm going to push back a little bit because that's what needs to happen. You know, good-natured, well-intended, respectful folks, in contrast or contravention to what I always think of George Bernard Shaw's remarks, you know, in from Man and Superman, the unreasonable man. The future belongs to the unreasonable man, which is hogwash. But, you know, you understand what he's saying. It's sort of a clarion call to bad guys, sociopaths, and hardened criminals everywhere. You know, serial killers and so forth. For Man and Superman, George Bernard Shaw wrote, "The reasonable man adapts himself to the world." Yeah, because you're respectful, you're considerate, you have discretion. You don't go around, you know, telling things that are indiscreet, saying sharing indiscreet details about folks or things or events or whatever. You, when you pass by folks on the street, especially if you're a man, and you pass by a woman, you're courteous, you try to step out of the way, you do what you can to assist others, because after all, that sort of hearkens to Matthew 7:12, the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have done unto you. You have that kind of grace and mercy and compassion in your heart because, you know, that has a momentum like everything else. So George Bernard Shaw wrote, "The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man." And sociopaths in positions of power have just taken that to a whole new level, I think. And which is interesting, you know, what the whole, you know, George Bernard Shaw and Sigmund Freud are kindred spirits in my humble opinion. Another fun quote from Man and Superman, George Bernard Shaw wrote, "Criminals do not die by the hands of the law, they die by the hands of other men," which is a weird sort of misnomer. Anyway, it's time for the reasonable man to push back a little bit and assert himself and say, you know, kind of like when bullies or you know, derelicts and villainous folks start to think that they want to prey on folks. However you want to put it, weaker or less capable folks of society, women, children, for example. It's my belief, it's my understanding, and I was raised to believe that part of our DNA as Americans is that we're supposed to defend those kinds of people, you know, especially those who cannot defend themselves, like, for example, the unborn. To me, that is patently American, but not exclusively, if that makes sense. Not like we have, you know, not like we've cornered the market on that kind of idealism. But to me, growing up, that was patently American. I was raised to believe it was in our DNA. And like I said earlier, I took those things for granted. Shame on me. Because, you know, God reminds us in the Bible, for example, that those things can go away just as quickly as you think they can last forever. So you have, in contrast to that, George Bernard Shaw's remarks, you know, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. And that should be an exercise in futility in certain cases, in matters of virtue, morality, and religion, for example, in matters of virtue, morality, ethics. It should be an exercise in futility. Like children, they should get swatted at some point. Testing the boundaries. Look, this boundary has been set. It's not moving. Like Proverbs tells us, do not move the ancient boundaries. This boundary is set, and for good reason. I have a friend who was talking about some of this. We were talking yesterday, and he said, you know, I wonder, Chris, you know, we're seeing a shift, a sort of pendulum swing in a radical, what is referred to as progressive direction, but it's really a moral decline. It's a moral decline. And when we think of what is referred to as progressivism, which sounds, it's a pejorative, really, if it's thought of properly, because again, George Santayana is the guy, he is the guy, he is the quote, you know, from The Life of Reason, Volume 1, Reason and Common Sense. George Santayana wrote Progress. What is progress? Well, I think Santayana defined it pretty well. Progress, far from consisting in change, that's what the progressives want you to believe. We just, you know, change for change's sake. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. And it makes sense. You know, it's like Winnie the Pooh going in a lap around the 100-acre wood. Always learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Haven't we been here before? Nah, I don't remember. Haven't we been here before? Nah, I don't remember. Which is worse, ignorance or apathy? I don't know, and I don't care. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, and no direction is set for possible improvement. Learned helplessness sets in. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, are we savages in America today? Even the savages that Jefferson and Jackson and folks talked about retained experience. When experience is not retained as among savages, infancy is perpetual. There's that issue that Jaron Lanier was talking about. It seems like there's a confluence of subject matter here. And then is when Santayana wrote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. The worst of it, that is, and bad guys depend on that amnesia, the induced amnesia, the, you know, induced Alzheimer's. So I'm going to push back a little bit, and Google is the target at this point because I'm sick and tired of hearing that there's anything redeemable about Google. There isn't, as far as I'm concerned, and anything that could be argued as redeemable is overshadowed by the whole don't do evil nonsense. I've read, you know, recently I read the story about how the Firefox team in particular over at Mozilla has lamented time and time and time and time again. Senior management and leadership has lamented time and time again about how Google is subversive to Firefox in particular. The Chrome team is constantly trying to trip up the Firefox team. And what's interesting, you know, there are a couple of articles. There's one that I saw last week about how Chrome is officially, and this is not, you know, not even in mainstream circles, not conspiratorial circles, so to speak, Chrome is now considered a spy platform officially in pedestrian circles, in, you know, mainstream, even establishment circles. The Chrome browser is a spy piece of software. And the bigger problem with that is that the Chromium stack is the undergirding of most of the contemporary browsers. Yesterday I had an experience trying to help someone connect their, just basically get Gmail in Thunderbird, the email client. Just turn it on, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal. But Google has all of their barriers to entry, basically, making it difficult. You have to turn on the settings, you know, enable less secure apps. That sounds scary. You have to enable IMAP. How in the heck do you do that? Then you have to, you know, enable the OAuth process and, you know, go through the authorization when you plug your Gmail address. And no other email address that I'm aware of requires these steps, and they do it under the ostensible guise of security, blah, 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 blah. It's not more secure. I've mentioned the stories about how even Google gets burned. The Google Play Store, for example, was a hotbed for viruses and bugs for a while. I don't know if it still is, but that was a big story. Google is not immune to this kind of stuff. Google has been proven to withhold information from Microsoft that they knew of vulnerabilities and exploits in the operating system and other software environments. They've withheld to their own benefit, to the detriment of others, and then burned other companies with that information in CIA fashion. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, apparently. So anyway, there is the pedestrian version of the evil that happens at Google, and then there's the more, you know, the layers of intrigue and deception and the more esoteric crap and so forth. But, you know, there's the don't do evil. Who needs a reminder? Don't be evil. Don't do evil. Who needs that reminder? There's the selfish ledger, Lamarckian epigenetics. What? Lamarckian what? Epigenetics. And of course, you know, there's the usual censorship, the hardcore efforts of censorship. And not just Google, not just YouTube, you know, all Alphabet properties. Unbelievable. As, you know, naming a company Alphabet, does that mean that pretty soon Google's going to try to patent the 26-letter English alphabet? So not just those properties, but as I said, you know, there are the stories that have rolled out. The engineer, now I forget his name, young man who said, and he was, you know, I think he was an Aspie, had Asperger's. So basically the point is he didn't have an agenda, had no dog in the fight. He just, you know, was seeing these memos and heard about the affirmative action nonsense and, you know, we need to recruit minorities, et cetera, et cetera. And he actually proved with math that these efforts were subversive to the very folks allegedly being helped, women in particular. He said, you know, these kinds of policies actually drive women out of this workplace. Oh, you're fired. Can't have that. Fired for speaking out, for proving the policies wrong with math. And the latest entry of that kind of censorship is the story that I'll get to in a minute. But before I do that, you know, you can't speak out against the pride nonsense. It's not pride, you know. And that whole discussion is something that really gets under my skin. I don't go to places and flaunt my preferences in people's face. I don't go to where certain people congregate. You know, this broadcast goes out and anyone is free to listen to it. But I don't go stick a loudspeaker in someone's, you know, place of, I mean, a library is supposed to be a place of refuge. And it has transitioned in recent years. I've been to a library or two recently and last, I don't know, few years. Not what I remember it. Why is there a bunch of noise being made? Why are there kids running around? And I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense to me. But worse, you know, drag queen story hour. So as a community, then we all just think this is wonderful. We all agree, and someone's going to force that garbage down my throat or try to infect my children with that, and you can't object to it. You know, I mentioned the story that Carol sent me last week about the Spokane Baptist pastor who rightly said, hey, when I was growing up, to the police, my understanding was about 40 Spokane Police Department officers showed up. There were snipers, and look, there was a sniper's nest on the South Hill Library in Spokane. Law enforcement had a sniper's nest. You know, for crowd control at a library. I'm surprised that they didn't bring some of the hardware from the neighborhood, you know, the Bearcat, the MRAPs, and the DOD 1033 hardware. Because there is some. And across the border there in Post Falls and Coeur d'Alene. You can't object to this? It's ridiculous. So now Google says if you work at Google, corporate policy dictates that you can't speak out. Well, that's tyranny. And to me, we're seeing evidence of what you can feel with this pressure, why the First Amendment was so important. Maybe we shouldn't have amendments because then people will think that those are the only freedoms that are safeguarded, even though the Ninth and Tenth Amendments are very clear. And we've gone further than their concern, in my opinion, because people say your constitutional right. It's not a constitutional right. They are enumerated. They are not issued by or from the Constitution. You don't want rights from man. What man can give, man can take away. So, speaking of Google, the latest round of nonsense. Yesterday was an experience that made my eye twitch. I haven't done that for a while. I don't know when that started. It seems like that was fairly recent, though, in my recollection. That now Google wants you to jump through hurdle after hurdle after hurdle just to get your email. The Gmail team makes you go through layers, a few steps, I think. In all, you know, somewhere between 3 and 5, if memory serves. But that's still more than most people want to do. It's hard enough for most people just to enter their, I mean, what's my email password? I don't know. Now I got to dig around and find that. That's enough of a barrier for most folks. But wait, it's gotten worse. I look today, and I'll tell you what I see today. We'll go to the phones after that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. I was just thinking Sinatra is an antidote to all of that, I think. Even though, you know, there are the old school bad guy connections, kind of the mob connections, but you know, I don't know. That's honest crime at this point, I think. So here's what I see now. I mentioned the Gmail shenanigans, and basically it's just obviously, so it's under the ostensible guise of security, but really it's just to prevent you from using anything other than Google approved apps and platforms and software, and so obviously your mind goes to the device you carry around with you. Why would you want to use Thunderbird? Just use your browser to, well, what if I just want an email client? Because that's easy. You can click on one thing and, you know, see your email. Don't have to worry about any of the other stuff. Yeah, but then we can't, you know what you're thinking, and we can't respond for you, and we can't read your mind and sell you crap that you don't want. I mean, you don't give us that opportunity. Not only that, but we don't get all that golden data when your little device is following you around in your pocket everywhere, and we don't get all the telemetry data. So that's what's really going on. I saw a few articles today. Bill Gates says his biggest failure at Microsoft was letting Android beat out Microsoft, letting Google, you know, and the Android operating system and those devices beat out Microsoft. Why? Because of all that delicious telemetry data. Knowing exactly where you are. You can log into your Google account, and if you've misplaced your device, your Android device, you can call it, you can lock it, you can call it and locate it. Locator service will tell you, I've talked about this before, it'll tell you where it is within 30 feet of its location. You know, obviously if it's on and within cell tower range, within 30 feet. And it's usually a lot closer than 30 feet. That's, in other words, within a room. And it'll call it and shut it off if you want. All of that wonderful data, you know, what is your altitude? What is your exact geolocation? What's going on around you? I mean, I've witnessed incidents recently. This is Facebook, actually. But, you know, you start talking about something and it shows up in places, in ads and things. This is what's going on. And I believe we should maybe stop using Google. Oh, but what would we use for analytics? Maybe nothing. After all, who looks at their analytics reports anyway? I've published those for years. No one looks at them. No one reads them. There's you know, arguably some valuable information and insight there. What do your customers want? No one does anything with it except the large multinational conglomerates. And they don't need that kind of help anyway. So here's what I see now. Now I have a laptop that I use in conjunction with this broadcast, have used it for, well, you know, over a year. I usually use it to sign in to Google News to look at some of the stories that I bookmark in there. And I don't like Chrome. I use it for work sometimes, but I prefer Firefox for the, you know, obvious aforementioned reasons. And I usually sign into everything Google in a private window in Firefox because I just don't want to give Google any more help than they already need or already have, excuse me. They don't need any more help. So I've used this laptop forever. And today I try to sign in and I get this message, verify it's you. This device isn't recognized. For your security, Google wants to make sure it's really you. That's funny because this is the same device I've used for a long time. Suddenly it's not recognized? Interesting. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Here's a story. Trending story. Trending article. Can a dance sensation's viral moment last forever? Russell Horning came up with the floss when he was 12 years old and dancing around his bedroom. See that? 12-year-olds making things up. But when I see stories like this, it's not a dance. It's a move or a movement, but, you know, you look like one of those hula dancers on the dash. It's not a dance. It's a move or a movement. A dance is the foxtrot, the waltz, the tango, the rumba, a salsa. Those are dances. We're actually learning moves, and it's not just a jerky motion. The floss is not a dance. It's a motion. It's you look like a hula dancer on the dash. I digress. So what I see, back to the Google thing, we'll go to the phones. Verify it's you. This is a laptop I've used forever for this stuff. You know, literally since I got it. And suddenly now, after however long, I think around 2 years, verify it's you. This device isn't recognized. Really, what happened, Google? Did you have a lapse of amnesia, Google? Because, you know, I've seen the messages, oh, this is a new sign-in. Well, yeah, it's a new sign-in. It's the same device, same IP address. You know, we keep doing this. We keep doing this. Is this you? It's still me. Still me. The device is not me, but it's me signing in. So verify it's you. This device isn't recognized for your security. Well, where's the setting that allows me to turn that off? I talk about the assumptive tyranny of these kinds of things from time to time. Where is the switch? Like I said about Gmail, you know, enable less secure apps. Oh, that sounds scary. Google wants to make sure it's really you. And of course, down at the bottom, you see what's coming. You know, you have this two-factor authentication these days. That's a big thing. We've gone away from the fingerprint and the retinal scan. Now it's two-factor authentication. We want you to sign in somewhere. And of course, you know, maybe we could just send you, we could just ping your phone real quick. It's easy. It's not a big deal. I haven't linked those two. So Google says, do you have a phone? Do you have your phone? Google will send you a notification to your phone. Yes button, and then the link. Try another way. What happens if I try another way? Oh, something went wrong. Sorry, something went wrong there. Try again. Next, click a next button. Yeah, no, you can't do that. So try again. It's just a loop. And I think at some point, you know, I think of that scene in Secondhand Lions starring Robert Duvall and Michael Caine. And what's his name, the kid? That scene, the fight scene, you know, they're hanging out and eating. Warning, Google prevented a suspicious attempt to sign into your account using a password. Oh, the horror of it. You know, someone might see some of the news stories that I've bookmarked. I'm sure that's valuable information in Michael Kaczynski's Cambridge Analytica economy. Anyway, that scene in Secondhand Lions where the kids, the punk kids, walk in and the kid tries to grab food from Robert Duvall's plate. And he says, you know, see, this is the problem with this country. Folks, these kids run around thinking they can do whatever they want because folks too good-natured to put a stop to it won't stand up and do something about it. And then he does something about it. And that's what needs to happen. That's what used to happen. And people, folks used to be able to sort their own stuff out. Now everyone wants a nanny and everyone wants to go tattle to the nanny. More evidence of the decline of America. I digress to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, Chris, I was, you know, hesitant about calling you because I didn't want to break your train of thought. But you said so many things that I can identify with, and, you know, in July I'll be 82, but hell, even in my lifetime, I'm living in a different world than when I was a kid. But my mother was born in 1916. My dad was born in 1910. And my grandfather on my mom's side was born in 1885. And my great-grandfather was born on my mom's side, was born in 1860. And on my dad's side, my grandfather was born in Texas in, I think, about 1875 or 80. And I don't know where my great-grandfather was. He was maybe born in New York, and they come to Texas. But anyhow, my mom could read real good when she was 4 years old because she was taught by her older sister. And in turn, she taught her younger sister, my aunt, which eventually went to the college and was the first one to go to college. And one thing I miss in my family when we were, my brother and my sister, we were all married, was the laughter and the humor of my family. And my dad, like you was talking about, your dad or your grandpa could tell the same jokes. Well, my dad could, and he, tears would come in his eyes, he'd laugh at his own jokes, but he'd have everybody laughing. But he could get so goddamn sober at times, he could depress Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah.
But my grandfather on both sides could do poetry and recite poetry. And my mom could, and all the family and everybody had knew her. She had such one hell of a memory and would tell stories, and everybody for years and years and years would say, well, Ruby, why don't you write a book? Write a book. And she said, well, I'm thinking about it, but she never did. But that's the background. That's what I lived up in. All these stories that I heard. And when we were living in Arkansas, my grandpa and grandma on my dad's side and my uncle come there to visit us, and men had to sleep out in a haymow. And I was the only child. I think I was 7 that slept out in a haymow with them. And my dad, my uncle were telling my grandfather about riding the freight during the Depression. And they didn't know this little 7-year-old boy was just taking in everything they said.
Mm-hmm.
So I left school rather abruptly at 16 years old and listened to all them tales about riding the freights. And I ended up, I was headed for Louisiana, and I ended up in Kansas City and then St. Louis, and then I caught a freight train and ended up in California. But the thing of it is, it was a different world and different people, and how, you know, you could talk and reason with people. But me today, it's hard for me to reason with people, and my anger comes up. And I, to be frank with you, my dear, you know, I'm pissed off, and
yeah.
I try to control it. But you have to be so diplomatic when you talk to people, you know. Christ massages their egos and all that, and people, as it says in the Bible, and I was going to read some of that, but anyhow, they're delusional.
Yeah.
And anyhow, reading out of the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I think that's how the world is today. You know, people can't stand the truth. They're afraid of the truth. They want to be babied and coddled, so he's feeding them a lot of delusion. But unless you had something to say to unpack that, I've taken up enough of your time. And I didn't want to break your train of thought there, buddy.
Well, I appreciate everything you said, Fred, and I really appreciate you sharing what you said, you know, about history. To me, that's a valuable, that's priceless. We can't get that anywhere else, and I appreciate that. I would say,
right. Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it, as always. Really, you know, Man, we could spend some time talking about that. Things are different, and not better. It was 2 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 2, the strong delusion, but 2 Timothy 4:3 is that the itching ears, you know, time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And it's ironic because it's a conditioned response, you know. Look into the Rockefeller founded World Council of Churches and National Council of Churches, and even if you're a non-denominational organization, you have some kind of maybe like Southern Baptist affiliation to, you know, for certain benefits, and that, I mean, in an Orthodox sense, but also in the more sort of esoteric administrative sense as well. It's hard to get away from that entirely. You know, when Fred's talking about his family and his lineage, I want to play that clip we play from time to time, Alfalfa Bill Murray, Oklahoma's 9th governor, and arguably most colorful. I think we need more governors like Alfalfa Bill Murray. And, man, I would campaign for those folks all day long. Back to the phones, Mike in Kentucky. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I would say I barely remember America, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a grandpa who was born in 1881, so I carry around a fairly cheap 1882 Morgan dollar as an example of that. Yeah, he died at age 81, and he was born in 1881. And unfortunately, I never got to be around him. He was a very quiet man. But he's one of these, and it rubbed off on my dad. He's a real do-it-yourselfer. These guys were self-sufficient, self-reliant. Mm-hmm. They could do whatever they needed to do and figure it out if they didn't know how to do it. And, of course, my dad grew up in the Great Depression. He would go to the dump and find stuff to build stuff out of, you know, that people had thrown away. And so, you know, as the old joke was in Eastern Kentucky, and I think Alabama, the country music folks have a song of the South where they say that depression, somebody said Wall Street fell. We didn't know. We were so poor. We didn't know Wall Street fell. Depression. Yeah. We was always this poor. Didn't make no difference. But, so that kind of self-reliance and stuff is being, I don't know, frowned upon and made fun of and operant conditioning or gaslighting, you know, if you're that kind of a person, you're a hick. You know, and
I saw another couple of articles on that. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. The increasing divide between the sophisticates that appreciate, you know, soul cooking as art, and the rest of us out here in flyover country, you know, the deplorables. I mean, they're just fomenting a division here, and you had touched on a lot of this data junk that I've been paying attention to, and thank the Lord, from my perspective, for Snowden. He increased my street cred, because I was talking about this way back into the 90s, and people were like, oh, tinfoil hat, you know, my life's so boring, they're not listening to me. And I said, look, you're a demographic. Everything about you is money in the information age, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to protect your privacy if you want any, because your privacy is in the way of their business model. I had an in-law that went and took the training for AT&T recently, and during the class for customer service training, she arrogantly said, well, I don't have to worry about that. I've turned off my location data. And one mm-hmm. of her classmates grabbed the phone, and it was an iPhone, and just said, here, give me your phone, and went, you know, just real quick, zip-zap, tip-tap, here's all your data. Here's everywhere you've been. All you've done is turned it off to where you can't access it. But they still have it all.
Mm-hmm.
They still have it all.
And that's been
their complicated data stream in it. And in 1994, I was working for a cable company, and the engineer's life went sideways. His wife took up with this guy that he was being charitable with, and he got custody of the kids, and he's like going home to Utah in the middle of nowhere, where Route 666 goes through the Four Corners area. He got a job with the cell phone companies back then. In the days of analog cell phone, the FCC mandate was to find a phone in less than 3 meters or 10 feet. That was mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere, using one cell phone tower, You know, they have like 12 panels on top of them, and they have a down tilt and whatever. And so they can extrapolate where that phone was 6 years ago, less than 10 feet, in the middle of nowhere, where back then they didn't even have weather radar. Okay, when I first came to work here, you could dial up the National Weather Service radar. There was no weather radar out there, but they wanted to find a phone in less than 10 feet. Now, that doesn't count the billions of dollars in satellite assets that they've got that can reach down and locate a phone that Russell Tice talks about.
Yep.
Yeah. It's overkill. How much of our human resources are being wasted on this?
And Kevin Mitnick's been, he's kind of the poster child who's been talking about it for years, too. Look at what he did through the phone system and technology. Anyway, yeah, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Kevin Mitnick. Stick around, folks.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. On the phones, and Mike in Kentucky. Yeah, Kevin Mitnick was one of the names that I think of.
Okay, I'll have to look him up, but I didn't mean to machine gun you, but I knew we were coming up against the break there, and I'm not sure how much I was going to be able to get in on that, but, you know, because of what you had talked about earlier, I don't think that you can operate a cell phone unless you're some kind of really sophisticated intelligence operative like the Weehawken and 5. You know, maybe you can hack a cell phone to where you can operate it without the location data being part of the complicated signals that the cell phone has gotten. Signals increasingly more and more complicated with more and more data, like which tower you're pinging off of,
exactly
the ID number, the carrier number, all the metadata.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. So, and the entire world's metadata, according to William Binney, by the way. I hear that John Stadtmuller may have him on tonight, by the way, if you get a chance to listen. That's what I hear. That's a rumor that somebody just told me. Do you get to listen to Stadtmuller? Huh?
I do as often as I can, so yeah.
Well, he scored an interview with that guy somehow.
I hope so.
I contacted him a while back about all of my crap for 22 years, and all he had to say was, well, many have tried to find a lawyer, but nobody has yet. Of course, I contacted the Electronic Frontier Foundation numerous times, and this last time they said, well, you can't sue the government unless you can prove damage from their 702 activity. And I was like, duh, call me back. I've got people I think I can talk into an interview that are scared, intimidated, and that's part of the problem why we don't have a free country is there's so many people running around scared to stand up against this junk. Even when you've been damaged, even when you can prove you've been damaged. And I've got videotape of it. I broadcast it locally on, you know, cable access. I've got mostly older folks that say they're willing to show up with cardboard signs because they see this and they know the special hell it's going to be to watch what's going on with your grandkids with this junk, you know. And that's a special kind of hell, I think, to be facing. And some of them see that, but yet there's some people that are, I don't know what they're scared of. You know, if you're over the age of 50, then you better get in the way of this. Are you?
Absolutely.
The danger is you could live to see what this does to our posterity.
aren't we watching it now at glacial speed, so to speak? And I think it's rolling downhill. I think it's picking up momentum. I want to talk more about that on the other side, just, you know, even for a moment. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
For survival, we've got to be the rulers of your world.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.